think we're holding on hay.
Yesh Levayah, page 196 of Dalit. Yesh Levayah, Akesh of Ashakas, the Hanukkah, the Shemesh of the Tev. You have to explain the connection between Hanukkah and the dimension of oil that is contained within the Torah.
Well, you said 196? Oh, 187.
L'cheira ain't a moving. It would seem not to be understandable. Chanukah hu yom tov medivrei sefer. Chanukah is a yom tov medrabbanan. V'leika yom tov de Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos shei min ater. Unlike the yom tov de Pesach Shavuos and Sukkos which are min ater. U'bizman bayis sheini. And it took place in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, which was in a lower state spiritually than the first Beis HaMikdash. U'bimatzav yorot. And in general, the Jewish people were in a lowly condition. At a time when the kingdom of Yavin rose up over the Jewish people to try to cause them to forget the Torah, how is it possible that Dafke Chanukah is the only Yom Tov amongst all of the Yom Tovim that is connected to the element, the aspect of oil that is contained within the Torah, the highest secrets within the secrets of the Torah? And the kudas habir b'zeh. And the point...
What's the kasha? That it's medivrei sefer, so it seems like a lesser...
It's a lesser Yom Tov than the other Yom Tov.
Okay.
And in a lower time. And the kudas habir b'zeh, and just in brief, to give the main point of the explanation, which will be developed as we go, but just the point is, that the order in which Torah is revealed, which Torah was given in order to make peace in the world, is in a manner that as the darkness becomes progressively stronger in the world, there is an ongoing progression. It becomes progressively greater, the revelation of Torah, the light of Torah, to illuminate the world. And therefore, because of the tremendous descent, when the kingdom, the wicked kingdom of Yavon, stood up over your Jewish people, your nation Israel. Specifically because it was such a dark and lowly time, and the Jewish people were under such a great oppression, and it was such a great darkness, that it was necessary for an increase and a strengthening of the light of Torah had to shine forth in an even greater way, and had to reveal an even higher level of Torah, the element, the dimension of oil that is contained within Torah, the secrets of the secrets. And the Rebbe adds in footnote 29, V'alpiza yumtak, shechgilish Hashem in rozen derozen shabatera b'chedesh ha-shlishi d'chad she'acherif, v'leikim atin Torah d'nigla shabatera b'chedesh ha-shlishi d'chad she'akai. Based on this, it comes out very good why the revelation of the oil within Torah is in the third month of the winter months in Kislev, as opposed to the Matan Torah of the revealed portion of the Torah, which takes place in the third month of the summer months, because it is in that time, Shalelus Aruchim Me'ayamim Be'eretz Yisrov, Ikatam V'tamzis Kol Arotzis, Iskabruz Achish. That is the time when the nights are longer than the days, in other words, the aspect of the darkness becoming stronger. That is the time when the greater light of Torah is revealed. Pir Advar. Now the Rebbe gives a more detailed explanation of this concept. Yadua, it is known in Chassidus, Shehayivanim heim b'chinas chachma de klipa, chachma chitzenius. That the Yavanim are the aspect of wisdom, of Chachma, of Klipa, external forms of wisdom. Shabizman Ahu Hayu Philosophim Hamakhishim Benavua. That at that time there were philosophers that denied prophecy. In other words, they denied that God communicates to man, because according to their philosophical beliefs, God is too high and is too removed from man, who is too low to be a recipient of divine communication. And as explains in another place, in Derech Mitzvah, Shenispashta az Chachma Yevanis Shehu HaPhilosophia, and then it was spread the wisdom of the Greeks, which is philosophy. And they wanted to overpower the wisdom of Kabbalah, of the divine Kabbalah and its foundations, which is predicated on Lahamin Bavaya Vimitsveso, Kihula Maila Maila Mukhinas Hachachum Vasavi. By them, the tremendous emphasis was on human wisdom, and they tried to overcome the foundations of divine wisdom, which are based on the belief in God and His commandments, that He is, based on the fact that God is infinitely higher than wisdom and understand. So they wanted to deny this reality and focus on basically that what's only relevant to us is that which we can understand, that which we could come to through our own wisdom and our own understanding, and not to relate to that which is higher and beyond our understanding. V'lochin timuk al hashmanim, and therefore, the gashmius, one of the things that they set out to do was to cause all the oils to become tamei. What did they have against oil particularly? In other words, they tried to be metamei the oils, shel b'chinas chachma d'kedusha. This oil represents the aspect of chachma d'kedusha, of wisdom, of kedusha, that they desire to cause the Jewish people to forget your Torah, and to forget the wisdom of kedusha. We can say that from where does the chachma of Yavan get such a power to even attempt to try to overpower the wisdom of Torah? So the Rebbe says, Yeshlema shes gabrus chachmas yavim, chachma de klip, ad ki de kach, she rotsu lashkicham tera secho, nitzad hayinike shalayim mi chachmas ha-tera, she shtam shubo ba-efen bilti rotsu. We could say that this, the kach, that the wisdom of Yavim, the wisdom of Klippa, has to try to overpower to the point that they were attempting to cause the Yidden to forget the divine Torah, is because of the spiritual sustenance that they draw from the wisdom of Torah, which they utilized in an improper way. As it points out in footnote 31, Sharikol HaChachmas Sheba'elam, Yichol in Yonei Elam, Sharshal Mekerem B'Chachmas HaTorah. It's all the wisdoms of the world, like everything that exists in the world, has its root and source in the wisdom of Torah. So where do you see this, that Yavan has a special connection to Chachmas HaTorah, and yet they abuse that? So the Rebbe says as follows, Yavan, we find a special quality about the language of Yavan, Sha'af, that the Gemara says, and it says in the Mishnah, Sha'af B'Svarim, which is referring to Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh, Lehitiru She'yichtavu. They did not permit that they should be written in any other language, B'lashon Achatz B'lashon Kodesh, in any other language outside of B'lashon Kodesh, Eli Yavanis. The Mishnah Megillah says that they were not, that Tanakh, even, in other words, not only, that Tanakh was not permitted to be written down in any other language except Yavanis.
By the Rabbanim?
And what is the source for this?
They were forced.
By the Rabbanim, didn't permit it.
Alexandria.
The Rabbanim didn't permit them. Yeah. Okay.
What's wrong?
The Rabbanim didn't permit it. I thought they were forced. I don't understand.
It's a Mishnah, halacha in the Mishnah. They did not permit, they were not matter that you should write the Svarim of Tanakh in any other language except Yevonis. So who's they? Chazal.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought the only time it was translated at all was by some king, and he
told me on
that. Moshe Rabbeinu translated it on. Moshe Rabbeinu translated it in Shchayda Shvat, the 70 languages.
So how could they forbid, if Moshe Rabbeinu did it, how could they come to it?
Because they felt that in later generations we didn't have the capacity to translate it properly.
But they
except in Greek, in other words, you couldn't write it in any other language, as a scroll.
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it on a stone, right? The stone.
Where he, what happened with those 70 translations, I don't know. But basically, Chazal did not permit it to be written in any other language except for Greek. Amakra, the Pasuk says, the Gemara brings the Pasuk. The Gemara explains the source for this. Amakra yafta lekim liyafas v'yishkin b'hol Hashem. That Hashem should grant beauty unto Yafas, and it should dwell in the tents of Shem. Yafusa shel Yafas, the beauty of Yafas. Hu lashon yavam, Hashem yafa mishal kovene Yafas. Rashi explains the beauty of Yafas is referring to the language of the Greeks, which that language is more beautiful than all the other children of Yafas. Yehei, the beauty of Yafas should dwell Baal Hashem in the tents of Shem. Ad shebatku umatzu, until we find the Yerushalmi says, explains this halacha by saying batku umatzu she'en atayru yichaylu li tagim kol tzarka el yivonis, that the Torah cannot be translated to meet the full needs of translation except in Greek. Nishtana.
Excuse me, just want to get it straight. So what happened with Ptolemy or whatever his name was? That was the Chumash? That they I see.
Nishtana Loshin, in the words of the Rambam and his Pirush HaMishnayos, Nishtana Loshin Yevani Mishar Loshenis L'Vishayim Muvin Etzam Etzel Chacham Yisrael. He explained, the Rambam explains what was unique about Greek, all the languages, because the Chacham Yisrael understood Greek, because they had to explain the Torah in the Greek for Talmai HaMelech. So because that translation was common and well known, so they knew that language as well as the Hebrew, and as if to them was as if it was Ashur. And therefore they did not permit it to be written in any other language, because they felt that it was not the language, the other languages were not understood properly.
Wait, so it was because they felt that the people who understood Torah sufficiently were only conversant in Greek, as opposed to it being anything about the Greek language per se?
That's what the Rambam seems to be indicating.
Okay, because at first it sounded like you said it's a special quality of the Greek language.
The Rambam's explanation seems to be that they understood it, therefore they were able to, because they had a good grasp of that language, they were able to translate it in a way that they could not adequately do in any other way. And still in all, even though Yevanis was the language, was the one language that could be translated properly, and yet, Chazal tell us, in Masech the Seferim, that when they wrote for Talmai HaMelech, the Torah in Greek, that day was as difficult a day for the Jewish people as the day in which the eagle was made, which is the antithesis of Matan Torah. And the explanation for this is, Shemitzad ha-mailad ha-mshavus v'zgalus ha-teru l'mata gambul shenis d'humus ha-ilu. Ba'er hetev v'shirun loshen. When looking at it in terms of the tremendous accomplishment, the tremendous advantage, the fact that the Torah is being drawn down even lower into the languages of the nations of the world, or to use the words of Chazal, that that is the pasuk describing Moshe Rabbeinu, translating it. This pasuk says, Bayer Heitek, well, she explained well in 70 languages. So from that perspective, Tirgum Yevanis Kishel Atzmi Hu Inyan Tei. Translation to Greek, in and of itself, is a good thing. Because it's a beautiful language, and it's the only language in which the Torah could be adequately translated. Raki Shekasu L'Talmei HaMelech Zateri Yevanis Hayayim Kashu L'Yisrael Kiyim Shenasebeik. The chesaron wasn't that it was written in Greek, the problem was that it was done for Talmai HaMelech. That when they wrote for Talmai HaMelech, the Torah in Greek, that day was as difficult for the Jewish people as the day in which the Egel was made. Kimin Shadav and Asalei Mitzatzivi Hashem, and Mitzadrish is Talmai HaMelech. Because since it was done not because of a divine commandment, but it was done based on a demand of Talmai HaMelech.
So if they had it already, so what do you need to do it again for?
No. Where did they have it?
Sounded like they had it already.
The Rambam said they had it already from the days of Talmai HaMelech. Now we're talking about the days of Talmai HaMelech itself. Mm-hmm. The Rambam is saying that the Chachmei HaMishnah were familiar with Greek because they had the copies of the translations that were made for Talmai HaMelech.
Oh.
Now we're talking about the one made for Talmai HaMelech,
okay. Which
is the first time it was done in Greek. At least after
Moshe Rabbeinu.
After the desert when Moshe Rabbeinu did. Okay? Since it was done not because of the divine commandment, but because of the demand of Talmai HaMelech, Shulokhein ha-yemakim lachshish, sha-adavi yenutzu la-achrizeh, be-efim bilti rotsin, to the point that there was room for concern that it will be utilized afterwards in a negative way. Which is why they had to make certain changes in the translation, that it shouldn't be 100% accurate, in order that Adla Hepech close in the mountain Torah. To the point, in other words, it was a difficult day as the day of the making of the eagle because they lay in it a tremendous potential of it being utilized for evil. The Yesh language. So we could say, as a result of this, as he points out in footnote 45, 100 years afterwards, which in this period they had studied the wisdom of Torah in its translation to Greek, So what was the decree of the Greeks that came 100 years later? To cause them to forget your Torah. Not to cause them to forget Torah, to cause them to forget your Torah, to forget the divinity of Torah. Kiyadur. As it is known. And this is a quote from the Friedrich Rebbe Zamayna, in Tavshin Aleph, Shabbat Inyan HaTera Shichachma Gedeila V'Seichel Nifla Lozeh Hiskimu Gama Yevan. That in the matter of terror, that the fact that it's a great wisdom and a wondrous intellect, this is something that the Greeks agreed to. Liyesim chacham gedelim, and because of the fact that they themselves were great wise men, gam nispalu al gedel etzim haflois hachacham shabbatini ater. They were amazed by the great, awesome, wondrous wisdom that is to be found in the laws of Torah. I will snag do al zeh shehi teres havaya. But what they opposed was the fact that it is the Torah of God, that it is divine. Hanu l'kedushas haTorah, shehi chachmas Yisbarach. In other words, the holiness of Torah, that it is His wisdom. Neged zeh lachamu. This is what they fought against. And similarly, he explains the continuation. La'avira michukei ritzeinecha. As he puts some points out in footnote 47, that there in the mind of the Friedrich Rebbe explains, that again, they agreed to the mitzvahs like Eidus and similar mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs of Chukim, this is what they opposed. Because it shows that you're subverting your own will to accept the divine will. So it comes out, Shenitzlu hatagim shal hater liyavonis, lamed al geidu eitzim hafloras chachmas hater, chachma gedelu seichel mitzvah. So it comes out that they utilized, how did they know, how the Friedrich Rebbe is saying that they were amazed by the wisdom of the Torah. How did they know of the wisdom of the Torah? Obviously, they were utilizing the translation into Greek. So it comes out that they utilized the translation into Greek in order to appreciate the awesome, wondrous wisdom of the Torah. A great wisdom and a wondrous Torah. They utilized that in order to pervert and corrupt the holiness that's in the wisdom of the Torah. That it should not be obvious that it is the wisdom of Hashem, that it is divine wisdom. But rather they wanted that it should be perceived as a human wisdom, similar to the philosophy of Greek wisdom, which that is the deeper significance of what we say when we say that they were metame, they caused to become impure, unholy, all the oils in the temple. Taken on Esther Hanukkah. So what was the miracle of Hanukkah about? What was the significance of, what is the content of the miracle of Hanukkah? Of in Shem and Tahar. That what they found was the miracle is takes place through Shem and Tahar. Pure and holy oil. Matzu Pach Echad Shel Shemen. Shehoi Yemunach B'chaysamen Shel Kein Godel. Lehoi B'lehadlik Eli Yem Echad. They found one flask of oil, which was had been placed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, and it did not contain more than the amount to light for one day. And what happened? Nasa bein Nes v'dligim imenu shemein yamin at shekatru zeisem v'tziu shemen tar. It happened a miracle, and they were able to light from it 8 days until they crushed fresh olives and brought out and derived from them shemen, which was tar. Since the decree of the Greeks was to cause the Jewish people to forget that it's your Torah, your wisdom, that they wanted to be metame, God forbid, the holiness that is within the wisdom of Torah. So it was necessary that the miracle, which is what would thwart their plans, should emphasize the holiness that is in the wisdom of Torah. That it is the Torah and the wisdom of David, so that it's your Torah. This is accomplished through finding an oil which is tahar, which the Greeks were not able to make tameh. He said to me, and even more so, shematzu pachachas shel shemen sheimunach b'chaysamei shel kein god, that they found oil which had the seal of the Kohen Gadol, dagachi nailus b'shemen tar, she'en b'yichelus ha'yivanim lagaz bei, as explained in Torah Er in the Sefer Mitzvot Tzemach Tzedek, derech mitzvah secha, the Indian of chumunach b'chaysamim shel Kohen Gadol, that this is a level of shemen tar, which no force of evil could ever pervert or cause to become unclean.
I just had a thought, and it just amazed that I never asked this before, but why did it take them 8 days to squeeze out a few drops of oil?
Where they got the oil from.
Actually,
it
took
too
7 days.
Away.
3 days journey, one day to do it, and 3 days journey back.
Do how long it would take them to squeeze it?
They have olives all over the place in Israel, or?
Probably not.
It has to be.
There it is. It had to be done a certain way, and it was a difficult process because you could only they use Shemen Zayis Zoch, which is only the first drop that comes out from each olive, and it was not a simple process, and it was done by special certain people in a certain place. And
you
can
do it in Shabbos.
I'm sorry?
You can do it on Shabbos. I don't know what you do it.
Instead, what happened was a miracle happened, and they were lit from it 8 days, seven additional days on top of the 1 day, which there was enough to burn, which includes in all 7 days of the week. The additional 7 days are include all 7 days of the week, which represent the entire spectrum of time. Inyan zeh shemen tahor mudgish b'limud nisla d'tor. This inyan of shemen tahor is emphasized in the study of the concealed dimension of Torah. Ki b'limud nigla d'tor. Because when a person studies the revealed portions of Torah, kiyun she'esiku binyani elam shabehem danim hilchas ha-Torah, since in that study he is involved in worldly matters, which the laws of Torah deal with, yachal yis mitzad ha-yirida discover sacheshuk be'elam matzav. It could be that through the tremendous descent and the overpowering darkness that there is in the world, it's possible that the person should reach such a situation. That one could recognize the awesome, wondrous wisdom, that it is a great wisdom and a wondrous intelligence. Without recognizing and sensing that it is the wisdom of the Eibush, because one is dealing primarily with worldly matters and worldly affairs and worldly issues, that is the subject of Nigla d'Tera. Therefore, it is possible that even though on the one hand one is very aware of the tremendous wisdom that is contained in it, to the point that the person could be amazed by the depth of wisdom that is contained in it, and yet that could blind him to the fact that it is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it is divine in nature. Eitzel is a, what is the Eitzel to this? So, Limud Nigla, obviously you can't stop learning Nigla, you have to learn Nigla. But the Eitzel is, Shal Limud Nigla the Teda Yir B'yachad and Limud Nista the Teda. The Eitz is that the study of the revealed portion of the Torah should be combined with, together with the study of the revealed, the concealed dimension of the Torah, which is Yedius Elikus, the knowledge of godliness, Da'as Elikei Avicha, know the God of your father. Shaydeze Nasigam Limud Nigla the Torah Chodur B'Ketushas HaTorah, Shanikri V'Nirgi Shazui Chachmasi Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is through this that the study of Nigla the Torah becomes permeated with the holiness of Torah, that it becomes obvious, and one can actually sense and be aware of the fact that this is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the wisdom of the Eibush, that it too is divine in nature. Uvenista the Torah Gufa, Mudgish Inyan Zeh B'Shemen Shabbat Torah, Yesem B'Yayin Shabbat Torah. Within the concealed dimension of Torah itself, this is emphasized more in the aspect of Torah which is compared to oil, more than the aspect of Torah which is compared to wine. Key. Because Nesav Lekach, Sheshemen Meir Al Rozen, the Rozen Shabbatera, Shalomar Lemi Rozen Stam, Yayin Shabbatera. In addition to the fact that oil alludes to the secrets of the secrets within the Torah, which is higher than ordinary secrets, the wine that is within the Torah, Mudgish b'shemen she'ena mashke b'fnei atzme, elu ma'av meis b'shar ma'cholem, u'mefapeh b'chol dar. What is emphasized in shemen is that it is not a drink unto itself, but rather it must be mixed with other foods, and when it is mixed with other foods, it makes it mefapea, which I don't know of a good English word for mefapea.
But mixes?
What?
Mixes? Blends?
No, it's not really mixes, but actually, but the fact is that it does mix with other foods in such a way that every part of the food becomes oily.
Saturated?
Okay, that's not what the word mefapea means. Mefapea means burbles.
Yeah.
No, but in other words, what the result is that the foods become completely saturated with oil. In other words, it spreads throughout. Whatever food it's being is applied to, it spreads throughout.
Permeates?
No, it's not permeates.
You said burbles? What's the word you said?
It's burbles.
Like
which is not a word.
No. What does that mean?
It's
a fan.
It
Tell me,
John.
Anyway.
Touches all the when you cook in oil, the oil
gets a pichat bidvash, yeah?
It's mefapea in the whole thing.
So how is it not permeated? Is that a permeated?
It goes inside.
Gets a grease.
Entrenched.
No, anyway, whatever. Not
we're trying.
Okay, anyway, but the end result is that whatever it mixes with becomes completely saturated with the Dumasi B'Shem and Shabbatel. And the dogma, which this is a model too, a marshal to the oil within Torah, Ha'ira v'achtos denista b'teir shemen, rosin de rosin shabbatel, im nigla de teir, lechem v'basa, שגם לימוד ניגלו לתאר, נעשה חודר בקדושס התאר, חכמוס של הקדוש ברוך הוא שם אינטר. That it's possible that when a person learns yayin shabbatera, because yayin is a drink unto itself, it's possible that that should still remain removed and divorced from his study of niglu l'tera. When he learns yayin shabbatera, he learns yayin shabbatera. But when he learns nigla, it's nigla. They're two separate. The two don't necessarily come together. But dafka by learning shaman shabbatera, which the very nature of shaman shabbatera is that it permeates and saturates all things, so then the emphasis is to dafka through shaman shabbatera, also the nigla shabbatera become saturated with and permeated with the awareness of the holiness of Tera, that it is the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shaman tar.
You can't say with wine, wine goes with food, it helps digest the food.
There's no question that wine can be taken with other foods, but it's by its nature it is separate unto itself. You can mix it if you want, but it doesn't necessarily.
But it does mix. But it doesn't.
But you don't have to.
It doesn't necessarily mix, and you could unmix it. You can't unmix oil from other foods.
Except for water.
Except from water and wine. Look. And even then, it's almost impossible to do it without leaving some residue in the water and wine. Eid v'gam z'ik. Sh'shemen u'gam dova ha'meir shemen la'moir, sh'al yodim miskal u'meir ha'moir sh'b'teir ha'pnim yisateir. And also, and especially, that oil is also something which gives off light, shemen la'moir, oil which is supposed to serve as a source of light, that through this the shaman is revealed and illuminated the light source within Torah, the innermost aspect of Torah, which is the source of the light of Torah itself. Leidak b'dalat ha'mesiv shel Yehudi, and not only in the four amos of a Jew, which dalat amos is the area that every person inhabits, also outside of his Dalai Lama's in the entire surrounding area, in his environment. That this illumination does not just illuminate the Jews' own little world, but it illuminates the entire surrounding areas, as emphasized in the lighting of the Ner Chanukah, which was instituted on the miracle of Shemen, Shemitzvah Nichal Pesach Besim Bachutz, that it's a mitzvah for him to put it on the doorway of his house facing to the outside. Words of the Gemara, that when do you light it? You don't light it during daytime, but you light it mishatishka acham. You light it from when the sun sets. Ad shetich l'regel min ashuk, ad dekal yeriglu de tarmudoi. Until people are no longer walking in the streets. Those days there were no street lights. So when it got from when the sun set till it got really dark, that's when the last people were hurrying home. And the Gemara gives as a siman for the end of this time, where it reaches a state of darkness that everybody is off the streets, it says till even the Talmud Dai are off the streets. Those are the people who would sell kindling to the people rushing home before dark. So, but the deeper touch of that is, 16. As explained in Chassidus, shegam bezman acheshech ubachutz, that even a time of darkness and on the outside, b'shuk, in the marketplace, sheyesh bo talmudoi, eisyes meredas, as it's brought in the Sefer Emek HaMelech, and similarly in the Sefer Kehilas Yankov, to Kabbalah Svarim. That say that the word Talmudoi is the same letters as the word Meredes, meaning a rebellious one. Meredim Bahavaya, in other words, that it's in the street, it's in the darkness, in the outside, where there are those that openly rebel against God. Poyelo Erdener Chanukah, the light of the candles of Chanukah accomplish Levatel, to cancel out the Lechalas and to destroy Kalya, Milash Kalya Hamerida Bashem Tamudoi. Ad the Kalya Rigla the Tamudoi means that the light of the Chanukah, the part of the mission, the job of the light of Chanukah, of the Shaman of Chanukah, is to destroy the forces that oppose God. Shalom Yisrael, Afilu Haregel. Rigla daiga chiachrein, a keel gam dova gerem gam gram de gram kulu, lefsharis from Rida Baba. That even the foot, the lowest aspect of rebellion, meaning not the actual rebellion itself, but even those things which are causes or sub causes, meaning things which allow even the possibility of rebellion against God, those things should also be destroyed. We say to Mizah, She'er de Ner Chanukah, an even deeper Taichel Chassidus, is not just Kalya Miloshen Lechalos, to end, to destroy, to finish off, but Kalya Miloshen Kiloyen Ukleis HaNefesh, She'er de Ner Chanukah Peil Kiloyen Ukleis HaNefesh Kalya Limal Yusa, that the light of Chanukah has the power to cause the Kleis HaNefesh, means the going out of the soul, the a state of such connection to God that one's soul threatens to leave one's body. Gam beraglu riglu de tamudoi, shegam heim yavoy lebchinas kleis hanefesh. That they too, even those that are forces that oppose godliness, it's in the power of Ner Chanukah to arouse in them. That they too should reach a state of klois hanefesh, of giving themselves over totally and completely to God, to the point as that the souls are ready to give out. He said, "Gedel ve'etzim er de shemesh shabateru rozen de rozen shabateru," because of the great and awesome light that is contained within the oil of Torah, the secrets within the secrets of Torah.
Just a quick question. Since we're saying that Chanukah is associated with Rezin Derazin, which means we said Chassidus, why don't we find that historically, shouldn't it have been the case like that in some way Chassidus was revealed on that day in Chanukah?
No, it's revealed. The Ma'aseh Yotzei Kislev is in that month.
Yeah, but what if the whole thing is coming from Chanukah, right? It's all associated with Chanukah. Why don't we see that?
Because again, there was not, as he's going to say, that the shleimus of the Gilui,
yeah,
is in Yotzei Kislev. He's about to say, you know, it's yeah. Everything in turn is a progression. He himself explains that as the darkness gets darker, the revelation becomes progressively greater. The revelation in turn becomes progressively greater. So in the time of Hanukkah, it's still in a very, very much in a latent potential state. But in other words, it's the beginning of the revelation, but it's not yet fully revealed within Torah itself in a way accessible to all. That was accomplished by Baal Shem Tov and the Amudot.
So it is the beginning of the Gilui of Chassidus.
It is a breakthrough. It's a moment of breakthrough in terms of exposing the potency and power of the oil within Torah. But it was not in the form of specific teachings not revealed on Hanukkah.
Okay.
It was a spiritual breakthrough that is associated with that aspect and dimension of Torah, which led to ultimately the revelation of Rashbi and Ari and everything else that came along, because even those two teachings were primarily Yayin Shabbat Torah, but within their teachings also contained Shem and Shabbat Torah, as the desire himself says that. It says on the day of his Estalkos, on the day of the Idra, he was revealed Razin Dir Razin. I mean, in other words, still were. It was part of a progression, but it actually became revealed and available and accessible through the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe and his ears. Ikon Shleim is Agilu the Shemin Razin the Razin Shabbater Benas Hashem in the Chanuk Nasa by Yom Tov Shabbachedish Kislev Shnizgalu B'Deres Shal Achrizah B'Yutas Kislev. The ultimate and complete revelation of the oil within Torah, the Razin de Razin, which is associated with the miracle of the oil of Hanukkah, was actually accomplished on the Yom Tov, which of the month of Kislev, which was revealed in later generations on the 19th of Kislev. The Rebbe points out in footnote 59 that you see the connection between the Alter Rebbe's redemption and Hanukkah, that from his first imprisonment, he didn't actually leave Petersburg and get back home until Hanukkah, second day of Hanukkah. And the second time he was imprisoned, which the second imprisonment was directly on dealing with the subject of Chassidus. The first imprisonment was ostensibly because of questions of possible treason supporting enemy forces, but the second imprisonment was specifically related to Chassidus, and on that, the second imprisonment, the redemption took place in Hanukkah on the third Ner Shlishi and the Ner Chamishi.
Which one?
I'm sorry?
The third or the fifth day of Hanukkah?
Third or the fifth day of Hanukkah?
He just said the third.
The third or the fifth day, that's what I said. Third or the fifth day.
Not sure.
Those that say the third, those that say the fifth, and the Rebbe explains that it seems to be that there was aspects of redemption on both days, but there's two versions as to what actual day. Yeah. Shabbat is called Ikra in the Futsum and the Sechat of Hashem to Teres Achsid Hashem and Shabbat Teres Chutz. Just the Rebbe Hashem says in Teres Shalom, it was on that day, the day of Yutas Kislev, which began the primary aspect of spreading the wellsprings of the Baal Shem Tov, the teachings of Chassidus, the oil within Torah, outward. Gam la'achri Shabbat look Zeres Yom la'ashkicham Teres Sechat ha'idei ad goshes ha'mayar Shabbat Teres v'nas Hashem and the Chanukah, nimshich seder limer ha'teres v'even sh'ikra limer hu b'niglu de Teres. Even after the decree of the Greeks was canceled, their attempt to try to cause the Jewish people to forget that it's your Torah, through the emphasis of the light source within Torah as manifested in the miracle of the oil of Hanukkah, it still continued the order of the study of Torah in a manner that the primary study was in the revealed portion of Torah. Even in time of the Amiraim after the Churban, as the Alter Rebbe brings, that even in the time of the Tanaim Amorim, which is even after the destruction of the Second Temple, all of the wisdom of Kabbalah was concealed and hidden from all of the Torah scholars, except for singular individuals. And even those who did have access to it, it was done in hidden ways and not in public. As it says in Gemara, Gam Rashbi, and even Avshim Bar Yochai himself, whose primary involvement was in revealing these aspects of Torah. He himself, that he was not given permission to reveal except to him and his fellows alone. It's only in later generations that these teachings are being ever more revealed. As the Arizal said, brought by Rav Chaim Vital, that Davka B'Deris Eru Achreinim Mutter U'Mitzvah L'Galas Zeisachach. That it's Davka in these later generations that it is permitted and even an obligation to reveal this wisdom. V'Adlus Galas Penimus HaTera Teres HaChassidus HaIdea V'Al Shem Tov HaMagid V'Teres HaChassidus Chabad B'Evin Shel Havana V'Asoga HaIdea Rabbeinu HaZogim V'Frat La'Achre Yutus Kislev. Up to and including the revelation of Primus Atera, the teachings of Chassidus through Baal Shem Tov and the Magen, and the teachings of Chassidus Chabad in a manner of understanding that it can be understood and grasped through the Alter Rebbe, especially after Yudiskus. Claim, which is to say, V'chanakim v'geshes b'ikar p'ulas Hashem, Mer Shebetera b'limud niglu d'tera shu ikar alimud, Shenasa chodr v'yidir v'akar v'hegesh b'kdushas Atera, Shechachmasi shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tera Secha. Chanukah, the emphasis is not so much on the actual study of the Shem and of the Torah, but rather on the impact of Shem and Shabbat Torah. That the Shem, the ability to learn Nigla the Torah in a way that you have the awareness, the cognizance and awareness of the fact of its holiness and the fact that it is divine wisdom. Tera Secha. So there is more, the emphasis is on the result of the symptom of the fact that there exists Shem and Shabbat Torah.